Celebrate diversity, equity, and inclusion with ATU and AAF Houston.
Join us on October 24th at Giant Texas Distillery from 6 to 9 p.m. for the triumphant return of the Night of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
Enjoy small bites, your first drink on us, and a silent auction featuring some of Houston's top artists.
Follow us on social for more info. Again, that's October 24th at Giant Texas Distillery from 6 to 9. See you there.
Hola, amigos, and welcome to the ATU Houston Amigos podcast, a podcast for young professionals in the marketing and advertising industry who are learning to navigate their early careers. I am Guido Falcone, your host today, joined by my co-host.
Hey, this is Jacob D'Antone, the current audio chair of ATU Houston and producer of this fine program.
And today we are joined by none other than Alex Hello, whose name I pronounced right the first time. Alex is the current president of ATU Houston. This is your second year, right?
Yes, this is my second year.
Yeah, and he is also a former president for the AAF chapter at UH.
Yes.
University of Houston. He's also a multiple ATU winner.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, he recently got engaged too, so congrats about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we are very happy to have you again. It's been a while since we talked to you. I think you were like episode 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. How the time flies. That was like 3 years ago.
Man, was it really 3 years ago? It felt like two.
I might be lying.
Maybe it might have been two. But...
He's episode 4.
Wow. Yeah, that's why, like 2 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, it was when we first started.
So, Alex, it's been, like I said, it's been a while. We had you since the last time we had you on the show. Many things have changed. Right now, you are the president of ATU Houston, like I mentioned earlier, your second year. Can you fill us a little bit on what that experience has been like?
Well, I can definitely say that with all the things that's happened in my term or my first term, it definitely was a roller coaster. From being told to include this into our program and do this and that, and being overwhelmed definitely kind of put a strain on me at the beginning. But now, after having a year under my belt and finally getting my stride in, I feel like I'm more confident and more comfortable running the organization as a whole. And with the team that I have now, I feel more confident than before. So I'm really looking forward to that, to my second term right now.
Yeah, and you have built a very capable board to support you. So
yeah.
And that's always great to have that, you know, backup in within the club, right?
So absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We are happy that things are going well. Obviously, myself and Jacob have both been on the board. Jacob's still on the board,
yes.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am slightly too old to be on the board anymore. But I very much appreciate what you've been doing for the club. The club means a lot to me and a lot to a lot of people who came before. So, you know,
absolutely. Glad. Yeah. And I'm happy that you're still involved in the podcast. And
never letting this go.
it saves me the headache to come by every time and do it. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. So as a board member or a current board member, I know the last year for ATU, we went through a lot of changes and we had a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Are there any memorable moments or challenges that you faced in your first term as presidency?
There are multiple facets that cause challenges for me. For example, being instructed to attend these national retreats.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, whenever I had to do these type of retreats to, you know, earn us club points and show representation, they would give us options to go to hotels and they would give us a special rate and all, but we didn't have the budget for that. And I would I would basically get the most discounted flight path that I could find to get to the location.
Oh, wow.
And then from there, I would...
Spirit Airlines.
And then from there, I would get an Airbnb at a very sketchy place. And then I would ask somebody that's attending the event to please pick me up and take me to the thing. Those were probably my most memorable moments. I think it was when I went to Tampa, as well as in this year when it was for the...
Ad America,
yes.
Yeah, so in St. Louis,
that one was funny. When I got there, it was much better than what it was when I got to Tampa, mainly because of the area that I was in. I got a really nice Airbnb. Actually, funny story, when I got to St. Louis, it was 12 a.m. It was really late in the evening.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The host was asleep. I got to my Airbnb. Oof. It was on the second floor or in the first floor of the apartment. Yeah. So I went up the stairs. I tried opening my door, and there was somebody in my room. That wasn't me.
No.
That is not what you want.
No, I don't want that at all. Yeah. I was just like, it was one of those weird moments where you just open the door and you have this awkward eye contact with the person that they're in.
I would imagine.
And then I just backed out. I opened it again. I then backed out again. I went down the stairs, tried messaging the host
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't have his number. So I was just kind of left at the living room. It was like about 30 minutes in, I was thinking to myself, oh, I guess I'm most likely going to have to sleep in the living room. So then I was getting my suit out from my bag because I didn't want it to get it wrinkly. But eventually the guy came in. The room that the person that was in my room had, he booked like a master size bedroom. But he took my small room instead because he just found the door open when he got there. Yeah. So I took his room. It was much bigger than mine. Yeah, I have a free upgrade. So it was great and all. I had more privacy compared to the other guests as well, which was nicer too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had a good trade-off and it was close to the venue. Really fun, really convenient. I think that was probably my most silliest story I had as a president this past year.
Showing up with someone else in your room.
Yeah, somebody in my room taking it and just trying to figure out what am I supposed to do. But good things happen, I suppose, and at the same time, I got to meet a lot of great people at AdMerica.
Yeah.
Especially, I finally got to see the national stage for the American Advertising Awards and seeing the winners that come to those.
It's awesome.
It's different.
Yeah.
Compared to what I see here in the local chapters,
yeah.
The ads are safer. They're more business-centric. They really tie into, you know, they feel more professional in a sense of like, oh, we're not taking any risks and things like that.
But
national entries typically go to a very extreme sense of what's funny, what could be edgy, things like that. That was the trend I was seeing with Professor Kelly at the time when we were commenting about it.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the most interesting highlights I've had this year.
Yeah. It's good. It's interesting to hear that the AAF, the American Advertising Awards, the national, the ones that make it there are the more daring, right? Like the more out there.
Out there entries, yeah.
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 Because they, you know, Matt Damon famously said, fortune favors the bold in a very stupid crypto.
Are you talking
commercial.
About the Bitcoin commercial?
Yeah, it's so dumb. Exactly. What
now, there were you didn't see a lot of that. You know what was really funny to see? I saw a Mint Mobile ad on there with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
I do love those ads.
Yeah, it was really interesting. The ad that actually won an Addy that I believe they submitted was one where it was a partnership with Arizona Tea.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wow.
You know,
those are good.
It was a weird one. I didn't get the full premise because they didn't display it on the screens, but I saw it on the gallery exhibition that they had of all the entries that won.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's two things I love, Arizona Tea and Ryan Reynolds. So, maybe I'll look that up later.
For sure.
Yeah. So, you know, you talked a little bit about how you have kind of learned the roles as you went, being a president, right?
Yeah.
So how has your role evolved since you've joined us last in this podcast, like your role within the organization?
Organization-wise, taking on this leadership position straight out of college was definitely an interesting path to take.
I would say so.
Yeah, because at the same time, I was trying to understand where I fit into the overall vision, or better yet, trying to understand my vision for this organization to be, where it's just similar to what I had back when I was in college with AAF U of A, just to be a community where a lot of individuals with different passions can come together to collaborate. And to an extent, that's where a lot of the events that I've been coordinating and figuring out as we go moving forward. So
yeah,
in a sense, there are some fun twists and turns that happen with planning events here, especially with ATU, trying to figure out how we can align our schedule with AF Houston.
Yeah.
And just trying to know how we can support each other as a whole in terms of cross-promoting, hyping up an event itself so that we can have more attendees, to also lead to bigger growth for our respective memberships. We had our membership drive, and that one was very successful for us in particular. We had a total increase of membership by 13 new members,
yeah,
people that never joined before. So it was really nice to see that the community's growing, and a lot of the things that we've been doing has been catching people's attention.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving more of an opportunity for us to incentivize and to take more risks in some of the things that we're doing. And I feel like it'll definitely help us out in the long run with other plans that we have in the near future. Mm-hmm. And heck, even with my current role and my current job, I've been given a lot of opportunities to take time off to help support this community and to even take on certain responsibilities as well, like contacting people, securing sponsors, getting in contact with universities to ensure students are being notified about these events and things like that. And yeah, it's been a really fun ride in terms of just learning how to grow this organization from the ground up again. And that's generally it.
That's great to hear. Yeah, there's always been a necessity between AAF and ATU to work together.
Oh, yeah.
Right? To build that. And it's not just building the membership. Of course, that's great. But it's also building up the members, right? Mm-hmm. That's the point of this, to help them grow, kind of find their way through, especially for ATU. Find their way through the industries and see where they belong, right?
Especially with circumstances that we typically tend to face are just ensuring that people are getting notified on potential recruitment opportunities. Hmm. But at the same time, it's been a challenge to figure out who was an actual member of ATU Houston versus somebody that just kept attending and not paying for things.
Yeah.
And lately, because of the membership drive, I've been able to finally get a database that's very accurate to this year. I messaged all the new members, welcoming them in to the organization, and just basically starting that direct line of communication so that we have more coverage.
Yeah.
And hopefully with time, we'll have a system in place for us to have like a buddy mentor system where we can just catch up with some people or hold some of our team members accountable for just ensuring that members don't just fall off in the face of the earth and things like that.
Absolutely.
Right. So, Alex, I know we have some exciting things planned for this year. Mm-hmm. I know we have some real cool events coming up, and I know... Or at least I'm pretty sure we have some ads for those future events on this episode. But can you talk about what ATU's been involved with recently and what events we've done in this past year?
So our first big event, which was probably my biggest milestone, was Bowl Your Ads Off.
Yes.
Bowl Your Ads Off was basically our bowling tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past with previous chairs, this was a typical event that happened with ATU Houston, and it was a fundraising tournament.
Yep.
So this last year, or the past year, when it was basically me and the previous program's chair's responsibility was to ensure that the event went smoothly, and we had all the materials we needed to promote it. And this is where the first hiccup technically happened was... We both didn't know what we were doing, and trying to figure out what was the best venue, because there were so many options and so many different prices, as well as how we were going to promote it. Also, trying to find artists for another component that we have, which was a silent auction, where we had we would basically buy bowling pins, and we would hand it out. We would ask local artists or designers to customize it to be put on the silent auction.
Yeah.
And... it was really, really great. I loved how a lot of these pieces from last year turned out. We still need to post them on social and call out the artists that did them. And I didn't forget, we are going to get to it for our upcoming programs, just as a callback, because of restrictions and timing and everything, it definitely held me back in particular. Yeah. And then afterwards, after learning from our issues from While Your Ads Off, we then went straight into Beers with Peers. And this Beers with Peers is typically a social event where it's like a networking drinking social.
Yeah.
That was originally designed or concepted by Dwight.
Yeah.
Dwight Douthat. From there, we also had this other component called Triviad. Now, in that particular instance, we wanted to combine the two, and this was a direct support between At to Houston and AAF. I was in communication with Dylan at the time, and everybody in the board wanted to help us out in organizing another event because we still needed that experience for this coming year. And they were nice enough to basically pay for a lot of the expenses that came with the venue, while as we were more responsible for the promotions, the prizes, the sponsors, and all these fun things. And it really got us to a point where we're getting more comfortable in doing these things on our own, which is really important, especially if we're trying to grow a community here in the city. Comparing ourselves to like Austin and Dallas, they have a lot of these social events and social components where people can come in and hang out, especially even here. Organizations like AMA or AIGA, they really encourage the general public to attend. And that's what we want to try and do, is to be that hub, because we're the advertising club. Yeah. Advertising covers practically everything and more, as much as what marketing and design is. I feel like we're supposed to be that bridge between the two, not people going into these random clubs without meeting people that's within the same industry.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where a lot of the crossover happened, and me just attending to their respective events, trying to understand, make new friends, inviting them to our events really make a big difference, especially in attendance. And it shows like that there's a general gap, and how can we fix it?
Yeah.
It's trying to get me into that type of situation. It's just, how do we solve this? And so far this year, we're trying to put ourselves in a better position to build that community.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting so far.
Yeah, we do have, obviously some events coming up, like another Beers with Peers, if I remember correctly. We have a pickleball tournament coming up too, which we'll be talking a little bit more about later. So, I know you guys have a lot of great ideas.
Yeah, and especially we also are going to be bringing back a cook-off as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, nice. I wasn't sure if that was happening.
That is happening, but more to come on that later. Right now, it's just a matter of, first, how well does the pickleball tournament perform? And then we were in conversations of bringing back also the bowling tournament too. However,
that would be great.
It would be fun. It's just a matter of how well do we perform this year, and how do we not burn each other out? Because that was another big goal for me this year with the new board, is how do we not burn ourselves out with all the work that we have to do?
Right.
And I think that's like the biggest thing about my team in particular. I want to make sure that everybody's taken care of.
Right.
Nothing is being overburdened. Yeah. So a lot of the times I find myself picking up some of that slack so that things still move and progress. Mm-hmm. But that's more in terms of just events and creative.
Yeah. Ad two definitely had like a lot of transitionary periods this last year.
Yeah.
A lot of evolution happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm excited about this cook-off thing.
Yeah,
because last time we had like the taco cook-off, it was delicious.
Yeah, we have a good team, especially AAF wants this to happen as well. Yeah. So we're in direct communication with their team, and they want to help us out make this happen. So it's gonna definitely be an event that's happening after January.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Most likely in the spring. Around the spring.
Yeah, when
it's a good time to have a cook-off.
Yeah, before it gets too hot.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So no, thank you for sharing some of that. We are very excited. We always try to push all the events coming out because we're going to go anyways, but we want people to come out and check them out, right? If they're in Houston, obviously. If you're not in Houston, I don't know, fly out here. Check it out.
Get in
a train or a bus or a plane.
Car bus drives are pretty reasonable now when you look at pricing.
Really? I haven't driven a bus in a long time. So, yeah. But the train, I do like a train.
If they have a train.
Well, that's
directly to
no,
Houston.
I was
they got passenger trains.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the East Coast, though, so and they have the Amtrak there.
Oh, okay.
It's fantastic.
I know I've seen
like 30 bucks.
I've seen at least one passenger train like let's go through Houston, so
oh, that's awesome.
I don't know if it stopped anywhere.
You have no excuse to not be here. So let's dive a little bit into the world of advertising, because that's what we do after all, right? We're an advertising club.
Right.
So in the past few months, have there been any ads or that you've seen that kind of caught your eye and, you know, made you think about, you know,
yes, absolutely.
What
you
know, doing?
There was one in particular where it caught my attention on social,
yeah,
mainly because of how it connected with me personally as well.
Yeah.
Google has been doing this segment called, or this campaign called Best Phones Forever,
mm-hmm,
where it's a really fun commentary where iPhone and the Google Pixel phone are together, and they're just basically, you know how Google has their AI voice, and then Apple has Siri.
Yeah,
so the phones basically talk to each other using those voices.
That's interesting.
And very interesting scenarios. And it was made by, I believe, Google Labs. And what's really cool about this campaign in particular is that it's all about promoting and selling the idea of the Pixel.
Yeah.
So they're not burning, they're not, you know, making fun of iPhone for not having this feature and that feature, but they're putting it in a very fun, casual scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some of them right here that we can pull up.
Well,
so this was one of them.
Sure. Yeah.
What a gorgeous day. What do you say we shoot some videos? iPhone. Oh no, iPhone. Don't you die on me.
Oh, I've been here.
Come on. Power up. You can do it. There we go. You okay? Pixel? I thought I just lost you. Why are you lying on top of me? I'm using my battery to charge your battery. It was empty. Oh, sorry. I was binging that show about the friendly soccer coach. Thank you for juicing me up. I didn't even know that was possible. Pretty cool, right? It's more than cool. I mean, if you weren't here, I might have never. But I was here.
I didn't realize that Google Pixel had battery sharing. Oh, let me stop that. Yeah, I didn't realize that they have battery sharing. That's an impressive feature.
Is the voice of Siri GLaDOS?
Yeah, it sounds like it, but I don't think it's
is not.
No.
But
I know exactly.
Great. Yeah.
I play Portal enough times.
Yeah, it sounds like her. That would have been great.
So I had to turn it off.
Freaky.
And what's really cool about these ads in particular is that they really center around the things that you wouldn't really figure out about the Pixel.
Yeah,
and they put it
in
a very fun, playful perspective where they're just best friends.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. It's the campaign is called hashtags. Best Phones Forever, which I love the title of that already.
It's a cute.
That's really smart, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say
it's also very unifying. Sorry, Guido. It's also very unifying considering, like, I don't know, Android and iPhone users.
Yeah, they're like still
they're at each other's throats.
Yeah, I make fun of Android users. But the Pixel's not an Android.
It is. Yeah,
oh,
Google
yeah.
owns Android.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
It's like a proprietary software and all that.
But. It reminds me slightly of those commercials with Justin Long for back in like the mid-2000s.
Oh, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC.
I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with you, PC, but look at me, I'm a Mac. And
Exactly. I feel like it's a really cool
callback. Yeah, now they turn it around. Yeah.
There's this other one that I really like as well that's more cultural.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull it up here.
Hey, whatever happened to Justin Long, man?
He still does stuff.
He's
acting all the time.
We're going to have to cut this out. Oh, sucker.
You know, Pixel, this tournament has taught me that no matter our differences, there are some things that unite us all. Wow, that's deep. So, even though you've got live translate and can automatically translate messages in over 20 languages, I'm fluent in the one language the whole world understands. What's that iPhone?
It zooms into it.
Soccer.
Oh.
Ah, football. Soccer. Football. Soccer. Fußball. Soccer. Football.
football.
Soccer. Yeah. Football. Football.
Football.
Soccer. Calcio. I feel like you're not understanding me.
Oh, they're translating in real time. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, like for example, if you were to speak to me in Spanish, or better yet, I have Google here. So if I just say, "Hey Google, translate English to Spanish," and then
you just talk to it. Yeah, right.
Sure, I'll be your interpreter.
Oh,
when
so
you hear this sound,
it really
it
does
means
that.
I'm listening. Let's get started.
Hi, I'm trying to figure out where the nearest bathroom is in Spain.
In Spain.
Hola, estoy tratando de averiguar dónde está el baño más cercano en España.
That's really interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me, I don't go anywhere where people don't speak Spanish or English.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't use it.
No, I know. I mean, but typically, yeah, if you go to like, if you went to Japan,
yeah,
or
so
some
I would
other
be
country,
like, hold on a second. Let me talk to my phone.
It's reasonable. Yeah. It's funny. It's also kind of quirky, but at the same time, at least how they presented it in this this piece with Google. Or by Google Labs, it was really cool. I was doing some general overview of like the campaign itself, and it looks like what they used as well as like in typical campaigns. Whenever they do it, there's like a lot of integration that comes to it. For example, like let's say, I don't know, like Sharknado. I guess that's kind of relevant because a movie came out about it a while ago. But what happened was there was a member of my previous org. Who came by to do a talk, and he was talking about his experience where they launched a campaign for Sharknado. And when he was at this agency, he was more in charge of the social media aspects. So like whenever people were tweeting online, they were responsible for responding back. And what Google Labs did for this campaign in terms of those communications, this was like a series, I think, that was just mainly posted on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they had an AI or some artificial intelligence that was running through all those comments and responding back in the tone of the campaign. Like something fun,
cool,
quirky, something that...
They had like a bot.
Yeah, a bot that was responding. But they had like a sample written by the actual copywriters so that it could reference the tone, words, and make it more natural, which I thought was really, really interesting. And I guess like... those scenarios that they put them through. There's one about Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
There's one where they're looking at the stars, where Google Pixel is looking up into the stars and iPhone 2. And they're just saying, Google is just talking about, oh, do you see that star? It looks so amazing. And iPhone's just like, what? I don't see it.
Hmm.
And then
like Pixel's, a camera or something.
Yeah, the camera is just not as good, apparently. Yeah. And
I don't take pictures. I don't know.
Apparently, we'll have to be very, very careful. We're treading on light waters here. But, and what was really funny about the ad was Google said, hey, I'm going to take these pictures and I can send it to you. And then iPhone responds back saying, no need, I can take a picture. And then just you see like this awkward flash.
I will say, well, maybe because I have the cheap version, but my iPhone camera's not great.
I know that.
Which is fine. I don't take pictures. I think that's a very interesting campaign. I like the fact that you get a little cultural right when it's talking about football, soccer.
Oh, yeah.
That. But I didn't realize that it had that like that translation thing right away.
Mm-hmm.
That is impressive. I don't know if there's an app on the iPhone that does that.
I'm sure it does. Like
maybe, but...
Yeah, I think with iPhone in particular, Siri has some
probably
feature for that.
Yeah.
It's just... I guess it's just not as promoted as well. But
I wouldn't have known about that either. I'm sure a lot of people who have Pixels wouldn't know until they see this.
Like
so that's great,
Especially, like, for example, if you just light your phone there on the table,
I can just drop my phone
and it'll just charge it too. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of technology has a lot of features that we just don't know about.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really cool. I really like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, are there any emerging trends or creative approaches in advertising that you've been keeping an eye on? Before you answer this, actually, speaking of ads and stuff, obviously I work in radio and stuff, so I hear a lot of quirky radio ads.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite ads that I like to hear is, I mean, we all know Mattress Mac, right? Local celebrity.
Yeah.
Mattress.
Yeah.
he's doing this thing where he's trying to sell like 10,000 mattresses.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
So he's got this radio commercial where he's like, "I'm Mattress Mac, and I'm until I sell 10,000 mattresses, I'm sleeping in the tower of my store."
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've heard yeah.
Is he
that.
Doing that?
I don't think he.
I hope so.
I think that was an old ad that he did.
It was from back in June. It was from back in June. It started in June, but I'm supposedly like he's still trying to sell the mattresses because we're still playing them. But like, I love it so much. What, just yeah. Theater of the mind is just like, this is great. This is a great ad.
I love that. That's funny.
So. Yeah, and I guess that kind of ties into the whole idea with like the trends in advertising. Is not a lot of people, at least when I went to AdAmerica as well, a lot of people, the ads that win the big awards are the ones that, you know, make you stop and think about them. And I feel like that's still a big trend to this day. Yeah. Nobody's going to, you know, with there being an attention deficit and that attention span shrinking and shrinking, it really kind of leads into the idea of, oh, how am I going to catch these people's attentions build that thing? Right. And there's also like this idea of having a soul and making it personal and all these really cultural influential pieces or components that are incorporated to it. It kind of like brings me back to a time when I did the National Student Advertising Competition with NSAC. An ad that I made in particular, we were really close to winning. I think in the last episode that we had with Cooper and Texas State, there was a conversation that we had about, you know, how my team and their team back in 2022 or 2021, we were really close. We were like points away. What happened with that ad in particular, when it was in a competition setting where we were, I guess, competing for a bid to present in front of a lot of people in the national stage, was I guess the soul, which was a really weird concept to grasp when competition. It's just like there's nothing that really ties or emotionally, there's nothing that a user can emotionally invest themselves into without seeing it directly. In my case, when I was directing this particular piece, there was just a lot of facets to the use case of the Meta Quest that really put a lot of difficulties for us to, one, edit it and composite it into a shot that felt more natural into a series, which we ended up doing, and we were really close. Actually, that ad that I did, that I showed you guys, actually won a Addy as well, or it won an Addy and it made it up to, it won a district level Addy. I think that was actually my first district Addy that I won, which was really cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing.
Out of all the other Addies, I think I've won like 13. then I finally had
one. Okay, let's not start bragging.
Right?
We should have won one. Just not going to get into that right now.
Let it sting in there for a bit.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, we're winners. Okay.
Of course, you're my winners. You guys, you've been managing this for a while, so I can't really thank you guys enough for doing this.
Yeah, it's, you know, as far as trends, listen, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I pay a lot of money for a lot of streaming services that don't offer ads, so they won't be ads. So I don't get a lot of ads myself, right? Say when I'm on YouTube, and it's always very random. I don't know. But what I do like, and this is not really a trend, but I like very targeted advertising lately, especially on Instagram.
Oh, what about Pinterest? Have you been going on Pinterest?
I have not used Pinterest. Actually, I have Pinterest. I have a bunch of outfits on Pinterest that I save. But I usually, Instagram, I'm just scrolling down and I'll get like an ad and it's like, check out this shirt. And I'm like, oh, I want that shirt.
Yeah, because what's really
not
crazy.
Helping my case.
It's really crazy too.
Makes it worse.
It's very natural, like you said, like natural ads that are specifically targeted.
Yeah.
To those, the ones on Pinterest are very, very unique. Their stuff, whenever you scroll, you think it's like an actual pin. That you can click on and you can look into it, but it's an actual ad. And when you click on it, it takes you to the website. And you're just like, dang it. But it's really clever. It's very well hidden, or it feels very seamless, which I feel like that's, I think, a really cool trend that for advertising professionals like ourselves, or marketing professionals in general, is just how to make that targeted ad experience seamless to the customer journey.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, you don't want people to lash out at you on social for God knows what. You want it to be integrated to their search. And I feel like it just being a, whether it's like a, a picture of a shirt that they just think, oh, this must be part of my Instagram, like one of the stories or something. That
it's because of what I've been watching or whatever.
Exactly, you just click. But then there's the whole case with privacy as well. Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, that information is basically provided by Facebook. You go through their ad services where you pay and you set the parameters for all these facets, and it just kind of makes it it makes it work in their algorithm.
As a marketer, I can't get too upset about privacy because
I mean, it's part of the industry.
Yeah,
and I think
it is, it's how we do it. It's how we do our job. It's how we get people what they need, right?
Yeah,
what,
and even with like the political side of AAF, you know, we have representatives in Congress
that
actually help protect
lobbyists.
Yeah, the lobbyists that help protect those rights. And there was a recent law that they helped prevent as well that at least secures the pipeline, or I believe it was something related to how we, the process in terms of securing ads and getting certain informations. Like the people were lobbying about making it more difficult for us, changing the way that we were working, and really it's just making it less business friendly in general.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's at least more than I can say because I'm not well equipped to talk about it as much.
But
this is just part of the conversation in general.
But it's also part of what AAF does, right? And what part of what your membership pays for is that lobbying aspect that protects the advertising industry.
Yeah, I think it's like a matter
there,
of... It really does count into, in the sense with me, I'm trying to build a community here in Houston in the likes of Austin and Dallas, where it's... They have memberships over 1,000 people while we only have like 30-something people. So it's a matter of just, one, how do we build that community so that it's equally represented across the district?
Yeah.
And then from there, also just having that pipeline to for people to support and have that to show their support and to also evenly represent and call out the top-performing people here in the city.
Yeah,
because I feel like that's what we're missing. It's just like we don't know who's the hot talent this city has to offer. We're really kind of limited to agencies showing their strut with the pieces that they made, but not calling out the top players. Versus just like employee of the week on LinkedIn. Hi, connections. I'm here to tell you about my current employer and how happy I am. It's not fun. Get a call out from a better source. I feel like that's probably the best thing to do.
It's completely unrelated, but I once won employer of the month 3 months in a row I worked at American Eagle. Completely unrelated, just wanted to brag a little bit. I do believe that's all the questions we have right today.
I believe so.
No, Alex, this has been great. Very much enjoy watching these ads, specifically obviously the
Google Pixel best phone, hashtag best phones forever.
Best phones forever. I mean, even the name is so clever. Like, it's so cute.
But first, you'll have to unlock your device.
Turn that off. Turn that off. This is why I don't have anything that listens to me in my house. not a single Alexa around me. But no, this was a lot of fun. I mean, we really got to connect. Really got to hear from you after a few years. Obviously, I mean, we see each other often, but you know, but having you on the podcast was great to kind of go over, you know, what Ad2 is going through, Ad2 Houston, right, specifically. And I know that, you know, it's a lot of great things coming up. So I'm very happy. I'm very excited to see what you guys are coming up with. Like I said, I'm too old now to be in Ad2, but that's okay.
I mean, you're still involved with AAF, and
I'm still part of the
part of the inner circle, or better yet, the web that ties this whole community together. So it really just it's a part of that segment.
It just makes me sad to not be with the cool young people anymore.
What do you mean? Okay. Don't worry, you'll be a part of the hype committee.
We're hype committee.
That's an inner joke that we have right now.
Okay. Hype committee.
Hype committee. We need a hype committee, guys.
But yeah, but anyways, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. This is a lot of fun. And you know, we'll be having some ads running for some of our upcoming events. But I'm really looking forward to this year and what you guys have
in store.
Store up your sleeve. I'm very excited about this cook-off. Because last time, I didn't cook, but I ate well. And I plan on doing that again this year.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, thank you so much for coming
in. Yeah, Alex, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. The Ad2 Houston Amigos podcast is produced at Radio Lounge. Ad2 Houston is a collaborative collective of young communication professionals aged 32 and under who are looking to make a difference in the industry. If you would like to become an amigo, join us at @2houston.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at @2houston. Thank you for listening.